This is episode 396 on the Flip Empire Show.
Welcome to the Flip Empire Show, bringing you the interviews, strategies, and insights for smart real estate investors. Prepare to dive into the minds of real estate's heavy hitters and gain the cutting-edge expertise you need to scale and grow your real estate empire. Your success and freedom starts now with your host, Alex Pardo.
Before we dive into today's masterclass expert interview, I want to let you know that this show is sponsored by Ascend, our in-house assembly of success-minded people, business owners, and entrepreneurs actively collaborating together to ascend our businesses to new heights while also experiencing truly happier, more fulfilling lives at the same time. We believe it's not an either-or, but you can truly have both and. It's the unique and rare combination of mastermind coaching and community that makes Ascend so special. But it's definitely not for everyone. If you're an entrepreneur who's looking for more than your typical mastermind or coaching, and you think these things can help you accelerate your ascension from where you are today to where you want to go, while living a more meaningful and rewarding life in the process, then you can head over to ascendyoursuccess.com, click the application button, and we'll go from there. Welcome back. Alex Pardo here, excited to deliver another masterclass here with somebody who you are, you're going to learn a lot from. A gentleman by the name of Caleb Pearson, who has become a friend of mine. We're part of the same mastermind, is just an awesome, awesome person, super successful entrepreneur. He got in this business in 2011, 2012, and quickly got recognized as one of the top realtors in the Charleston market. Built a very, very successful brokerage, which he's been able to step away. We talk a little bit about that so that he can focus on the investment side of the business. And, you know, you guys have heard me speak about, you know, certain markets are extremely competitive, you know, the one that I'm in being one of them. And so if you are, if you're a wholesaler, if you're a fix and flip investor, or if you're out there trying to get deals and you are 100% focusing on direct to seller, that could be a good thing, but you could be leaving a lot of money on the table, you know. I think back to 2013 through 16, 80% of the deals we closed were off the MLS. I mean, it was like shooting fish in a barrel. We were constantly sending offers. And the tougher things get and the more competitive things get because of the barriers to entry in this business being so low, it's going to be moving more towards being able to get more quality deals off the MLS. And even that, what I just said, is at times not the right line of thinking. Caleb talks about how, you know, there's so many conversations and masterminds he's in where people are struggling to find deals off the MLS. So what we decided to do and unpack in this particular episode was talk about best practices, talk about how to go, you know, having a dedicated team member to go and how many offers you need to be sending out on a daily basis, how to go about figuring out what to offer, what the follow-up process looks like, building relationships with agents. And what's really cool is that, you know, Caleb and his team spent a couple hundred thousand dollars developing an app, developing a software that makes it like click button simple to be able to send offers. But regardless of whether you decide to use that software or not, we really dive into what his criteria is on the MLS, how he sets up hot sheets and saves searches to deliver the types of properties that he wants to offer and what that process looks like. So I think you'll get a lot out of this episode. So let's dive right in. Caleb, what's going on, bro? How are you?
Doing well, buddy. Thank you for having me on.
No, man. Thank you for being on. So just to provide some context for people listening, man, prior to me joining CG, I don't know, a couple years ago at this point, I had been hearing your name in a lot of circles. And I think around the time that I was joining CG, cold calling was very popular. And it was kind of like the thing to do. And you were one of the experts that I kept hearing, man, you got to hear this guy Caleb talk about cold calling. He runs a successful brokerage. So man, it's been awesome getting to know you over the course of the last few years, you know, you and your wife, Ashley, and I appreciate you, you know, pouring into my life and my business. We've been in the same room several times, and I'm excited because of the tool that you guys have developed, Zoom Offers. Ben, one of the things I really want to, we hope to get across on the podcast today is, as you know, years ago, we were doing a lot of deals off the MLS, and then when the market kind of started to shift, we pretty much went 100% direct to seller. And that's an area of weakness in our business, is that we've completely kind of gone away from the MLS. Yep. So I'm hoping we could talk a lot about that. But before we do that, give people some background. How long have you been in this business? When did you get started? And what does your business look like today?
Sure. Yeah. So I came in from a different angle than most of your listeners probably, because I came in on the retail side first, meaning I own my own brokerage and team that helps buyers and sellers through transactions versus the investment side. We built a team. We've got about 10 people, but only 5 agents. We do about 200 transactions a year on the retail side. And then I had a couple investor clients that I was making a lot of, I was helping them make a ton of money. Mm-hmm. So I got into, I was just looking at the numbers and the checks that they were getting off of stuff that I was handing to them. So I picked off a few deals here and there on my own. And then we ended up building a whole nother arm to our business and investment side. Okay. Where we'll do about 100 this year on the fix and flip wholesale side.
Amazing. So do you still have the brokerage? Because I know at one point you were talking about selling it.
I do still own the brokerage. My team, I don't really sell very much anymore. I've kind of stepped out of that. So I've got a couple guys that have taken over all of my past clients and most of my leads, and they work the majority of that. I focus more on the investments.
Beautiful. So, man, before we start getting into kind of some of the MLS stuff, a lot of people are constantly reaching out to me asking, hey, how do I scale the business? How do I remove myself from the business? At what point should I do that? What are some of the things, processes, systems, people that need to be in place in order to do that? From your perspective, what was it you did within your brokerage, and what allowed you to kind of still have it but step away so you could focus on something else?
You know, that's a really good question, because I've had a lot of friends that have done it and stepped out too early and then it's fallen apart and they had to jump back into business. Yep. Knock on wood, I haven't had to do that yet. I gradually took myself out of it versus just put a complete stop to it. We've got really good, loyal people that have been there for a long time. So they're well-trained and they could step in and pretty much do the same production I can or close.
Okay.
So I'd say good training, good culture, just longevity of some of the people that have been with me makes all the difference in the world, because you're not always retraining and rehiring.
It's people. So expensive, man. Turnover can kill a business.
Turnover hurts so bad. And if you get the right people on board, everybody wants to scale, grow these huge companies. And if I've kind of learned, if I set a goal as far as enough is enough, mm-hmm. and just stick to that number versus constantly trying to grow that side, that business runs, it's profitable, it's smooth, less headache. I like where that business is right now.
Got it. So it's all about the takeaways. It's about, yes, you have to have processes and system, but more importantly, you got to have the right people. It's all about finding the right people, putting them in the right seats, training, et cetera.
Yep, exactly.
Got it.
People are everything.
Beautiful. So, man, I kind of just went through, you know, a little bit of a highlight reel going back 2013 through 16, 80% of our deals here locally in South Florida were off the MLS. I'm curious, you obviously came from the brokerage world, so I'm not sure when you got in the investment side, but I feel like people are kind of neglecting or forgetting about the MLS, especially in hot markets where, you know, the line of thinking is, hey, the properties are overpriced, people are overbidding them. What are your thoughts on how we can be targeted and how we can start picking off deals from the MLS in this market?
Yeah, so I can't tell you how many tables I've sat at or masterminds I've been to where they've said that the MLS is dead. You can't buy good deals off the MLS anymore. Do you want me to kind of explain how we're doing it?
I'd love to hear your overall thoughts on the fact that we can still get deals off the MLS, but more importantly, how do you go about doing it and what is it that you guys are doing?
Yeah, so we're still buying 2 to 3 a month off of the MLS. Not a huge amount, but more than most people around the country.
36 deals a year, more or less, off the MLS. That's a lot.
Yeah, so let me back up just a hair. So I was going on 30 listing appointments a month. So I'm meeting with all these sellers, and every month I'm meeting with one or two families that are just super, super motivated. And I'm thinking, well, if I'm going on 30 and two of those people are motivated, that means that there has to be a good amount of people that are active, that have their house active on the market, that have high motivation. And I wanted to figure out, how can I figure out who those people are? Mm-hmm. Because all you know is that you've got 5,000 active listings in the market. That means 5,000 sellers have raised their hands, but you don't know which ones of them are motivated.
Correct.
So I thought about it. And I'm thinking, okay, how do I get an all? The only way I can figure out what those people will take is getting an offer out in front of all 5,000 people. So I was sitting at the bar one night with one of my buddies, and I was telling him about my idea. I needed an app, and I wanted an app where I could click a few buttons and auto populate offers and send out offers on everything in the MLS and just sit back and field counter offers. Hmm. And he goes, "Hey, I've got somebody that can build that." And a couple $100,000 later. I mean, it was expensive, and we pretty much had to tear it apart and rebuild it. But it's cool, man, that the app that we built.
So this is Zoom Offers. What exactly, I guess you kind of just like broke it down, but how does it work? I mean, people upload a list into this software. Does it connect to your MLS? Like walk me through how the system works.
Yeah. So you don't have to upload any lists. We get an active feed from your MLS, and it pulls all the active listings. Actually it pulls active pendings, closed, expired, canceled. It pulls all of them.
Okay.
But let's say our market, we have about 5,000 active listings. So I can go in and make an offer on all 5,000 offers, on all 5,000 listings at one time, mm-hmm. in about three clicks. I can take a little toggle and pull what percentage of list price I want to offer.
Okay.
So if I want to offer 57 cents on the dollar on all 5,000 listings, it will calculate the price, fill in the contracts, mm-hmm. sign it for me, and then put it in a Gmail and send it just like any list. Any buyer's agent would send out an offer to the listing agent on the home.
Okay, got it. Caleb, what are some best practices that you found using the software as it relates to, like, is the best approach to, you know, put a bunch of offers out there and just, you know, pick off the ones that come back? I would imagine you're going to get a lot of angry realtors. Or what have you found is the best approach? Is it trying to calculate the right price on each listing? Like, how do you go about it?
So that's a good and funny question, because I told you we've had issues with it when I first built it. Mm-hmm. And we've had to rebuild it. I beta tested this thing for like a year before I got it, put it in anybody else's market or anybody else's hands. Couple things, best practices: don't send out 5,000 at one time, because your email and your phone will blow up.
Don't tell me you did that.
So my cousin who manages it for us, he's fearless. He just was blasting out. He probably sent out 2,000 offers one day, and yeah, he couldn't even return all the phone calls that came in. So we do about 50 a day. So that's a pretty good practice.
Okay.
We built a feature in there. Every market has a couple agents that are just horrible to work with, and they get upset. Excuse my French. Can I cuss on this thing?
You can, man. Feel free to go at it. I'll just mark it as explicit. So whatever you got to say, you say it, dude.
All right. No, they get pissed off. There's always those few agents that get pissed off every time you send them a low offer and tell you never send an offer. So we built a feature to where you can exclude those agents' listings.
Okay.
Make sure that you use a contract that the agents are used to seeing, not like a two-page, or use the state contract.
Good. So it's I'm assuming it's easy to upload your contract and kind of like merge the fields and like drag and drop. I mean, is that kind of how the system works?
Yeah, so we're not and we set all that up and build it for you. You provide us with your contracts that you want to use. We're not attorneys. We don't write contracts for you guys. Y'all just send us the contract, and then we help you build the fields.
Okay. And does the same apply with, like, I know here in my local market, oftentimes there's different like addendums that we have to send in depending on what type of property and that kind of thing. Same thing. If somebody has specific addendums or paperwork, you guys can take care of that as well?
Yep. So that brings up another best practices. Send us an addendum of some sort of due diligence or study period or just an out clause. Because if you're sending out offers and the seller accepts something, you don't want to be stuck in it without being able to get out there and inspect it or get your eyes on it.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm, correct. Caleb, I wasn't going to ask you this next question, but I'm going to ask it anyways. And here's the caveat. Understand, you know, everyone's KPIs are different. There's so many different variables, so many different, you know, different markets. So there's a lot of nuances, but so take this with a grain of salt. But what have you seen in your market, and what have you seen maybe with like some of your other users? Is there kind of like an average number of offers that you would say have to be sent before you can typically connect on a contract. And again, understanding that these KPIs are going to vary from market to market.
Yeah. So, you know, we haven't tracked the deals that our members are getting. Now we get emails when people have good months and they tell, and we take suggestions on features. If you want to, we basically communicate with our customers pretty okay. heavily. Okay. It's been all over the place. I mean, I'll tell you the good, bad, and the ugly. We do about two to three a month. We've had one guy that's in Birmingham who did like 11 one month, which is not typical results. And then I've had people that have blanked for 2 or 3 months. But what we've seen, anybody that's canceled, which we've had very few people cancel, we can go back into their platform and see how many offers they made. And they're just not making enough offers.
Yeah.
People that make 4 to 7 offers a week are not going to buy houses.
Right, right. So you're recommending 50 per day.
I like 50 a day.
Okay.
And like in the bigger the market, the better the results we've seen.
Sure. So walk me through your process. Do you have a dedicated team member that's just responsible for like what's your process from start to finish? I know some people set up what's called like a hot sheet, you know, where they'll get emailed with the new listings or if there's a price change or anything like that. Like for somebody listening, whether they use the software or not, walk us through like your process from start to finish if you can.
Yeah. So Justin, who, like I said, is my cousin who works for me. He sets 2 computer screens up. He's got the app on one screen and he's got the MLS up on the other.
Okay.
And he'll pull the hot sheet up every day and he'll scroll through the hot sheet on the MLS, the new listings that hit the market. Mm-hmm. And he'll pick out which ones look like investor type properties or things that we'd buy. And then from the pictures, he can figure out what he wants to make an offer on. So he'll go to the app, click the house, make an offer on it. It's like, click the house, open it, type in the price, hit send, and it auto-populates, signs it, sends it off. So he'll do individual offers that way, and that call that maybe 7 to 10 offers a day that way.
Okay.
And the other thing that he'll do is he'll go into the saved search criteria. We like our best filter that we've saved has been 90 days or more, under $350,000, 2 bedrooms or more.
Okay. 90 days or more, under 350K, 2 or more bedrooms.
Yep. And 2015 and older. That gets all your new construction out of there.
Okay. Okay. Understood. And so that's kind of your sweet spot. That's the criteria that you guys like to focus on?
That's been our best buys. Just because you've got people that have had their house on the market. They've gone 3 months. They either haven't seen any offers. They haven't had many showings. They're starting to get frustrated. Mm-hmm. Their motivation is up there.
Yeah.
Our best deals that we bought are deals that have been like 4 or 5 siblings. They've inherited the house. They've had it way overpriced for so long. And they finally get an offer and they're all like, well, screw it. The difference between 200,000 and 300,000 split 5 ways isn't that much.
Yeah.
Just take it.
Yeah. Totally get it, man. Totally get it. Okay. So 90 days or more, 2015 or older, 2+ bedrooms. Any other nuances, whether it's using the system or just getting deals off the MLS that you guys have found? Like, hey, look, when you go through this, I mean, look, one of the things that I think people need to consider is, are you going to have a dedicated team member doing this? One thing is to get the offers out, and it's an entirely different thing to now take the calls from the agents, go back and forth by email. Like, once you guys get the offers out, what's the process from there?
Yeah. So he gets in, he's in the office about 7:30 every morning, sends out his offers, and the offer does not have his phone number and his email. It says, we understand that this is not full price. We are local investors. Please send us your counter offer in writing.
So you're saying that right off the bat, like basically I'm expecting a counter offer.
Yeah. And obviously we get, basically his job is to get counter offers in his email, and then anything that's close to being able to work out, he'll pursue. If it's not, he'll just tell him, thanks, this one's not going to work for us.
Yeah.
But you'd be surprised at how many people say this seller is not motivated, but I've got this other guy, he's super motivated, or I've got this other one coming on the market. It's just as much a marketing tool for your company as it is an offer tool to buy those houses.
That's a great point. I want people, like, you know, you're already taking the time to send an offer and connect with an agent. Take the additional step and actually build a relationship with them. Find out what pocket listings they might have coming down the pipeline. Keeping in mind that generally speaking, you got to build a relationship with these people. But don't look at it as a one-time offer, one-time transaction. Think about building a relationship with these people long-term. Caleb, what... somebody listening to this is probably thinking in their head, or maybe they want me to ask, hey, in my market, we send offers and agents don't like it when we're sending blind offers because we haven't gone to see the property. Or in my market, you know, properties are getting put under contract for, you know, 90 cents on the dollar as far as the list price or more. Do you still send an offer at 60, 65 cents on the dollar? Talk specifically to those two things, agents that want you to go actually physically inspect or see the property. Because I know here in South Florida, that's one of the first questions they ask. Have you seen the property? So I'm curious how you guys handle that.
Yeah, no, just the video or pictures are so good these days in Google Street View. You can pretty much get a good feel for all the properties before you need to even go out there. So what was the question? How do we handle it, or what do we?
Yeah. So obviously you and I, you know, people listening to this, we know we don't have to actually physically go see a property. I mean, we make offers on properties all day long that we don't see, but agents from their standpoint, it's almost like they don't want to represent or present the offer unless they've known that they know that you've actually taken the time to go see it. So I'm curious, like, you've encountered that, how you get around that with the agent.
No, Justin will pretty much tell them exactly what you just said. We buy so many houses, we have a good feel for what we can pay. I don't want to waste your time or waste mine, but please just go ahead and present it and get me your seller's best number and we'll try to work something out.
Okay. And then as far as figuring out what to offer, again, you got to know your market, but I know here in South Florida, man, most of the properties off the MLS, you know, they're going pretty close to ask price or list price. In some cases, obviously you're going to have, you know, some exceptions. Is there a particular formula that you guys use to send offers in your market, or is your guy, I think you mentioned 7 to 10 properties, he's going in individually and figuring out customizing the offer?
So on the hot sheet, he's customizing it. Because those are new listings, you've got to be a little bit more precise. The ones that have just been sitting on the market for 90 to 180 plus days, he just blasts them out at 55 to 62 cents on the dollar.
Okay.
And there's a Zillow, the Z estimate is tied into the app as well. So you can kind of get a feel for what the property's worth. Not that I'm promoting Zillow's estimate or anything.
Right. You know? But it gives you some sort of an idea, or you can kind of figure out what I recommend people do, Caleb, and maybe this is something that you guys can do, is take 20 random properties in your local market and compare, run the actual comps and then compare that to this estimate and trying to get like a variance percentage. So if I know that Zillow is usually 19% above the actual, you know, comp, you can kind of use that as a guesstimate is one way to kind of do it if you just want to get a quick and dirty.
Sure. No. I think it's a great idea. But our market's the same as yours. I mean, I think the average right now of list to sales price is 98.2%.
Yeah, it's high. It's high.
But we're still plucking off deals.
Like
we bought the one this month that was listed for 370. We bought it for 235 or 236.
Wow. What are you guys putting in there as far as, because man, back in 2013, 14, 15, I could easily put a 10 to 14 day inspection period. I can put a $2,000-$3,000 deposit. Now in my market, and again, we don't do a lot of deals off the MLS, but from some of the guys that we network with in Mastermind here locally, agents are requiring 10 to 20 grand earnest money deposits, 0 day inspection period. I'm curious how you guys are handling that.
See, we don't really have that. In our market. Okay. I think the way our contracts are written is earnest money will be delivered within 48 hours of ratified contract. So that means that we're not having to write check after check after check. And then we just send somebody, as soon as we get a ratified contract, we send our acquisitions guy out and he goes and looks at the house next day.
Okay. Understood. Do you get a lot of phone calls from agents? So if you're sending out 50 a day, any idea on how many calls and or emails are getting, you know, your guy Justin is taking?
If he sends out 50, he probably gets 50 emails back. I mean, everybody responds, even if they tell you to take a hike or no thanks. We get a ton of them. It's just, when you make a low offer, they just say the best my seller will do is 210.
Mm.
and they just tell us the seller's best number just because we're so far apart, which is not bad.
That's actually a pretty good strategy in many cases.
Yeah, it's really not a bad thing.
Yeah. And by the way, what has worked for us is whenever we piss off an agent, we take ownership, we apologize, we say, look, I understand this is not going to work in this particular case. And we just kind of educate them on what we do, you know, as far as wholesale. We don't talk about the wholesale, but the fix and flip and where we need to be and just our criteria. And we just apologize and we say, look, we're looking to build a long-term relationship. Again, I understand, you know, you need to sell us for as much as possible. If I can add value in any way, let me know. If I can send you any listings. So it's an easy way to quickly turn around that conversation when agents get pissed off at you.
Yeah. I mean, I get that question all the time. When we have users that are about to get onboarded, when they ask me, isn't everybody going to get mad at your lowball offers? I try to change the mindset because we don't get that many people that get mad. And you can't have that mindset. You need to be aggressive in sending out as many as you can get out consistently, because it's just a numbers game.
That's right. That's right. And the other thing I think, and maybe you can speak to this, or maybe you've had a different experience. I find that when one of the worst things you can do if you're going to start sending out offers on the MLS is not responding to agents in a timely manner. You know, if they reply back to you and it takes you 24, 48 hours, like, it's just a quick way to kind of turn off an agent or burn a bridge before you even get started.
Yeah. And Justin's sitting at a computer all day. I mean, he's taking inbound calls from mailers. He's managing counter offers and he's scraping the MLS all day.
Okay.
That's pretty much his job.
So I'm not asking you how he gets compensated, but what do you recommend for somebody listening to this if they're going to have somebody dedicated on their team that's responsible for jumping into the MLS every morning, sending out the offers, replying? Like, how do you recommend compensating that person?
I mean, I'll just tell you how Justin's compensated. Okay. He makes 10% of net profit.
Okay. Okay, beautiful. 10% of net profit. And he handles everything from start to finish.
Pretty much. And here's another thing that a lot of people don't think about. There's 3% commission that's offered on every one of those listings. So if you have someone that's licensed on your team, that's just icing on the cake.
Interesting. So you actually don't, when you guys send the offer, if you have a licensed team member, which obviously in your case you do, you're taking the 3%. You're not giving it to the listing agent.
Most of the time we'll take the 3%. I mean, if it's needed to make the deal work, we'll incentivize the agent.
God,
they don't get it right off the rip.
So that's so interesting, man, because when I got kind of trained up on this side of the business 7-8 years ago, what they taught was, hey, give the listing agent your 3% so that they can push the offer. And so I've always kind of had that mindset, but it's interesting to hear that, no, you actually take the 3%. And what I'm hearing is it doesn't really affect if the seller's going to accept it or not.
Yeah. I mean, these people, there are 7,000 agents in our market right now. So it's super competitive and these agents are hungry. I mean, they haven't had an offer. They have something in hand to go try to make work. So yeah. I don't mind giving up the commission. That's not a big deal to me, but if you don't have to, you need to buy the house.
100%. Beautiful, man. As we start to kind of wind this down, what haven't I asked you about the software? What haven't I asked you about getting deals off the MLS, working with agents, any other potential best practices, or have we pretty much covered everything here?
No, you've asked pretty much all the questions that we usually get asked.
Okay. Got it.
It's super simple and user-friendly. I mean, it's not difficult to use.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, the key, like with anything, Caleb, you know this, man, it's consistency. You know, like don't send out, you know, 5 to 10 offers one day and then, you know, none the next day. And then like, you just have a rhythm, have a cadence, make sure offers are going out, make sure you're replying to these agents as quickly as possible. Know your market, obviously, so you have an idea of what to offer. Always know what cash buyers are buying in a particular area, particular zip code. And go from there. It's like you said, it's not difficult.
It's not. It's consistency and systems. I agree with you 100%.
And one last thing I'll mention to you, man, it's so much easier in my opinion than direct to seller. As you know, with direct to seller, you have so many moving parts, right? Marketing, acquisitions. I mean, not that you don't have acquisitions and dispositions on the MLS, but when you're dealing with distressed sellers, it's just different than when you're dealing with a property on the MLS.
You're 100% right. And if you're closing on it, you get a nice broom swept home that's clean. The agent handles most of the other side. The agent wants the deal to go through so bad that they're pretty much handling it for you.
Yeah.
It's nothing like a direct to seller mailer lead.
That's right. It's completely different. And when you perform and you start to build the relationship with the agent, they're going to start feeding you more deals. They're going to send you pocket listings, which are opportunities that haven't hit the MLS yet that they might have coming down the pipeline. So you got to nurture those relationships moving forward.
Yeah, I agree with you. 100%.
Beautiful. So guys, if you want to check out this software, we set up a link, flipempire.com/Zoom offers. That's Z-O-O-M as in Mary offers. Simple web form, just some contact information. And then Caleb, what's the process from there? You guys will be notified and then they have to go through an application process to see if it's a fit.
Yep. So as soon as they go through that process, we'll get their information and immediately they'll get a quick demo video showing them how the app works. Bunch of frequently asked questions those answers, which you've asked most of them here on the podcast. A best practices video that goes out with it. And then they can pretty much, if they click the button that says, get me started, an invoice will go out for the setup fee. And once the setup fee is paid, our onboarding team reaches out. It's like a 7 to 10 day process to get it built.
Okay, got it. And when you say get it built, it's getting their contracts, their addendums, their paperwork uploaded, and some of those nuances to their market?
Yeah, so I say 7 to 10 days. It depends solely on the customer. It's not us that slows the process down. It's how fast that you guys can get us the contracts. You guys are not that fast sometimes.
Yeah.
We've had customers take a month to get us a 4-page contract.
Got it. Well, my friends, in the interest of full disclosure, so I haven't used the system yet, but I'm going to be going through a demo. This is a system we're going to be checking out because the truth of the matter is that we have been too reliant on the direct-to-seller model. And I recognize that while it might be challenging to get deals off the MLS, it's what we've talked about. It's about consistency. It's about making sure that you get them out every single day. And believe me, some things will stick, but you just got to get the offers out and you got to have somebody following up. So
I agree.
Awesome, Caleb. Hey, man, this is a question I usually end the show with. You're a young guy, you're in your 30s, rewind the clock 15 years. What's the one piece of advice, knowing what you know now, you would share with a 20-year-old Caleb Pearson? By the way, it doesn't have to be about business, but it can be. It could be about life, could be about relationships, whatever. But you got to boil it down to one piece of advice.
That's a great question. I would have bought and kept way more assets.
You're kidding me.
That would be one, and just be smarter once you start making money with your money. Just treat people right. I'd say those are my three biggest.
Yeah, those are good ones, man. Let me tell you, so not too long ago, and we'll kind of wrap up the show here. Not too long ago, I was looking at some emails that we sent out in 2011, 2012, properties we wholesaled, and I almost shed a tear at the prices we were wholesaling. I'm like, if I just would have kept that property, and so many of them, like it was painful to see. It was painful.
Yeah, I mean, I got into the business at the perfect time. I got in the business in real estate in 2011. 2012 at the absolute bottom. If I knew what I do now, I'd be doing a lot different things than I am.
That's right. So the takeaway, my friends, is, you know, whether you're a wholesaler, a fix and flip investor, if you're in a transactional business, it's a great business because you could generate a lot of cash, but take that cash and put it into cash flowing producing assets. Cash flow is ultimately what's going to set you free, not being on the hamster wheel of jumping from transaction to transaction. As you know, man, we've had conversations. That's a big mistake I've made throughout the year. So,
And the tax benefits of owning real estate and holding real estate as a real estate professional. I mean, you can do a whole nother podcast on that, but
no doubt.
It's so advantageous to you.
Yeah. Yeah. 100%. Yep. My friend, I really appreciate you, man. Thank you for coming on here and sharing some best practices. This is an area where we're going to be diving into heavier. So my friends, make sure you check that out. Again, full disclosure, this is an affiliate link, but I'm going to be checking out the software as well. I know Caleb personally, and they've built a pretty awesome platform here. So go to flipempire.com/Zoom offers. And then if you have any questions, feel free to reach out because I'm going to be testing the system myself and going from there. So Caleb, anything else to add before we hop off, man?
No, I appreciate you having me on.
No, appreciate you too, man. Send my best to your beautiful wife, Ashley, and your family. And I will, at the time that this goes live, you and I might be together or around like within a week or two. So I'm looking forward to hanging out, man.
All right, buddy. I'll see you in a few weeks.
Take care, my friends. We will talk soon.
That's all for this episode of the Flip Empire Show. But we have you covered with even more expertise and resources on our website. Text EMPIRE to 67076 or head over to flipempire.com to join the newsletter and gain free instant access to our video module training course called 5 Ways to Scale Your Real Estate Wholesaling Business to 6 Figures in 6 Months or Less. For more interviews, strategies, and insights for the smart real estate investor, we'll catch you next time here on the Flip Empire Show.